NSA celebrates while Google removes encryption, Kaseya's take on thinner, lighter, faster, Microsoft finally embraces the cloud. These stories and much more on today's episode of MSP Dispatch. This episode is presented by MSP GeekCon 2023, a conference for MSPs by MSPs. Occurring May 21st through the 23rd, 2023 in Orlando, Florida, this two-day event is built around the journey of technical growth from Tier 1 to Tier 3. Visit mspgeekcon.com for more information. Good morning and welcome to the April 28th episode of MSP Dispatch, your source for news, community events, and commentary in the MSP channel. I'm Ray Rossini, joined as always by my co-host, Mr. Tony Francisco. How you doing, Tony?
Excellent, sir. Excellent. Eyebrows on fleek today. So much is happening. The world is moving in so many directions. I don't know. We had a lot of stuff to cover. How are you doing today? What's happening?
I'm happy. I'm fantastic. I'm celebrating. Did you see the Cinco report that included you and myself?
I have heard rumors. Do tell. Do tell.
So Cinco released a report, and we'll include the link in the show notes, of course. But it's a survey they did of 603 MSPs asking where they get their news, their resources, where they go for information for 2023. Some of the notable takeaways, most of them get daily or weekly updates from videos on YouTube, following by podcast in second place. Their most popular topics, 51% cybersecurity, 50% general tech, hot podcasts, many friends of the show on there, including Dave Sobel's Business of Tech, including How to Learn to Run Your IT Business with MSP Unplugged, Paco and Rick, our friends over at Killing It, our friend Todd Kane over at Evolved Radio, tons of good friends over there, and Carl and them. And then if you scroll a little bit down, they have the hot channels, and we're on number two. 39% of MSPs watch MSP Dispatch and MSP Media Network properties. So that's pretty cool. And then, and they called out our MSP. They called MSP Geek. And they even included myself on who do MSPs look to for advice on running their business. I thought that was pretty cool. And it has a bunch of really great names in there. Amy Luby, Top Kane, Jennifer Bleem. But I want to say thank you to Synchro for putting this stuff together, because Jay McBain puts out his list every year of the communities for MSPs. He's been doing that for a couple of years. I was able to help him with this list last year. Amazingly, he still had some he wasn't aware of. There was 160 something communities, I think, by the end of the time he released the list.
Amazing.
Amazing. So I thank you, Synchro, for including us and putting that information out for MSPs. Thank you so much.
And to the MSPs, thank you.
There you go. But for now, I think our MSPs would thank us if we got into the news. What do you think?
Let's get into the news. And in my first story from bleepingcomputer.com, Google will add end-to-end encryption to Google Authenticator. Google Authenticator is a popular two-factor authentication, 2FA app, that provides additional layers of security to users and online accounts. With the addition of end-to-end encryption, the app will become even more secure and resistant to tampering or attacks. End-to-end encryption means that only the sender and the recipient of the message can read the content, and no third party, including Google, can access the data. The feature will ensure that Google Authenticator's OTP, one-time password, code remains private and secure, preventing potential security breaches. The move is part of Google's ongoing efforts to improve the security of its products and protect users' data. The new feature will be optional, and users will have to enable it manually in the settings, in the app settings. Ray, let's talk about this for so many reasons, because the first question I have is, why wasn't this already there? That's the first question I have. The second question I have is, this just another step in the right direction, or is it just a marketing thing? Talk to me.
I mean, Google Authenticator being able to sync, yay. It should have been for a long time, but it wasn't. And I'm that kind of guy that, you know, I know you're the same. I make copies of everything. So even my MFA tokens, I register it in my password manager and I register it in Google Authenticator, just in case. And I regularly export from Google Authenticator to, whatchamacallit, to my other Google devices that have Authenticator installed.
Do you have all of your passwords? So not only this is how horrible I am. I have racks of USB keys, and I rotate them. I actually have a little Faraday cage with like aluminum foil around, and it's in my safe. I'm not joking. And but I have them rotating just in case, because I update it, then rotate it. So if it's out, yeah. I have real issues, like serious, serious issues. And anyone who does finally attack my stuff, they're going to say, what is wrong with this guy? Like, what is wrong? This guy is probably the visual representation of a large portion of the MSP audience out there that's watching right now.
I mean, you know what? It's like I went to my server closet in my office, right? We're fully remote. We're fully cloud. I still have a server closet.
I want to pause for a second. I just got done talking about how I'm the visual representation because I'm neurotic and I keep all my stuff backed up, a backup in a Faraday cage, in a safe, in aluminum foil, and USB keys, which is a backup of the password manager, which is a backup of the codes of the authenticating app. I just got done and I said, I'm the visual representation. The other half of that representation is, well, so in my house and my server closet, that is literally the other half of our audience right there.
I know. Well, okay. So at home, I'm very much a Luddite, right? Like I have my laptop, I have my tablet. I have smart outlets, but I don't have a server set up at home. I have no rack set up at home. That my house is sacrosanct. I don't do that at home. At the office, we still have a server rack. And I was looking at the other day because, you know, Unify switches are always in short supply. So I was looking at my rack and we need to send something to data center. I'm like, I have a lot of gear that's all powered off. Like it's not even on, but it's like, I still have that IT mentality. There was a NAS sitting on top, also unplugged. And it said like Windows Server, I think it was 2012 that came on the NAS or whatever. And I'm like, oh, I should, you know, update that and get a 2019 or whatever and bring it back online. And then I realized, but I have no need. I don't need to do that. It doesn't take away that I like the fact that I can have a server cabinet. It's so stupid.
It's like a baby. As a kid, you don't know why you need it. It's just something that was there. Oh my gosh.
Okay, it's like leaving the house without a laptop. Yeah.
Oh, why would you do that? Don't say that. That's sacrilege. So just to be clear, Google is doing this massive end-to-end encryption. It's one step in the right direction. I love, love, love seeing companies move in that direction, especially large companies that have such a huge influence. I do not like the optional turn it on or not, because that then it's optionally, we're giving you a best practice. You can do that or not. I would prefer if we're saying, hey, we're going to keep it optional until this time. There's an engineered obsolescence and the deadline until it's mandatory is X, because then we're kind of pushing everyone in the right direction, willfully in most cases, until we force them there. And then it's just ambient. It's just ambient encryption end to end. It's the way it should be. But large companies doing things in the right direction are amazing. I'm hearing rumors that another very large company in our space, the space that we all address every single day, is doing something too. Have you heard that rumor?
Nope, nothing going on at all. No, I'm kidding. Actually, Kaseya unveiled their new IT Complete 2.0 at Kaseya Connect Global, written by The Business Wire. Kaseya unveiled their new IT Complete 2.0 at the Kaseya Global event. IT Complete 2.0 includes numerous enhancements and features, including an upgraded remote monitoring and management system, an expanded IT documentation offering, a streamlined interface for better user experience. The improvements aim to enable MSPs to manage their clients' IT infrastructure more effectively while reducing operational overhead. Furthermore, Kaseya has announced new partnerships and integrations with key industry players, which will help MSPs access a broader range of tools. and solutions to serve their clients. The biggest takeaway that caused the biggest hubbub in the MSP community, Kaseya announced the acquisition of both Audit IT, which is an IT documentation platform for MSPs, and Vonahai, which is an automated virtual pen test solution for MSPs. Tony, so new roadmap, new integrations, new tools, and my takeaway is they picked up Vonahai, which was in ConnectWise's pitch it campaign or event last year. They were the winner, the startup winner of the event. And very much congratulations to the Vonahai people, Kai, Alton, Trammy, awesome, awesome team. So congratulations to them. But, you know, the MSPs in the audience, and especially on Reddit and Discord and Slack, they were vocalizing concerns every time Kaseya picks up a company. And the word monopoly was thrown out 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 times. what do you think that says? Do you think this is potentially a monopoly, or, you know, what's your take on when you see something like this?
That's a great, great question. I have a lot of interesting analogies. And I will use one of my strange facts. We were just talking about this the other day. So an octopus has 3 hearts, 9 brains, blue blood. I want to process that for a moment. Just how alien is that? The 2 of the hearts pump blood through the gills, while the 3rd circulates it to the rest of the body. The point I'm trying to make is that, as strange as that sounds, there is a very functional process there. There's a rhythm to that rhyme. And until we actually back up and understand the big picture, looking at it in any particular context is just alien. It could appear drastically different than it actually is when it's just functional. Okay. So in the event that Kaseya is acquiring companies, the question that I have for people is, what is the big picture? Now, this is where things get interesting. For the visionaries out there, I would be classified, unfortunately, in that particular group, because no one ever understands what the heck I'm saying until they do. And then they say, wow, how much alcohol and caffeine did it take to get to that level? A lot, by the way. If you actually have a vision, putting it together in the same, we'll call it cadence, the same rhythm that where everyone's used to, is very difficult. Putting it together in a comprehensive solution with all the connective tissue to work in the right orchestrated way, very difficult. If there is no vision, then what we're looking at is a collection. Their strategy is a collection of knee-jerk reactions, and those could be appearing like the acquisitions of multiple companies. So the point I'm trying to make is that I think we're on the precipice of finding out, what is that vision? Is it something so collective, so cohesive, that it's going to be for the betterment of the entire community? Or is it just a monopoly and a collection of knee-jerk reactions to continue the revenue stream, because that's what the model requires due to the investors? I said a whole bunch of vapid terms that people don't really care about. Otherwise, people are going, this guy is really crazy. Or somebody out there, I can feel, out of all the MSP, someone's going, I think Tony may be right. I think there's buying companies just keep that kinetic energy. But what are your thoughts, Ray?
I mean, no, so I have a weird take on this. This is where my Zach Galifianakis, you know, the math and the numbers on the, you know, in front of me doing the calculations. I can just picture it. Yeah, right. Whatchamacallit. So a lot of the complaints were, Kaseya purchases these companies, they don't iterate with them, they don't do a whole lot with them. So, you know, a lot of people look at Kaseya and they complain that, you know, Kaseya will purchase these companies, they feel they stop iterating. And I've seen lots of MSPs complain about that. You know, talking about why would Kaseya purchase, we talked about it, why would Kaseya purchase a third PSA, a second RMM? What's the point of it? And suddenly, I went down the thought process when I heard about this of, what if Kaseya is just acting like an investment company? They're just acting like a PE. Yes, these are all ecosystem products, right? And we would love to say it's single pane of glass, everything, data is fluid and passes through everything, ultimate integration. Of course, that's the end goal. That's what MSPs would like to see. But as an investment company, you find another company that's doing well and they're producing revenue, that's just a good investment. Forget if it plays with your other investments. That's not relevant, that they're just individual investments making money. That you have the opportunity for collaboration, synchronicity, whatever, great. But on their own, they still generate revenue. IT Glue was generating revenue well before Kaseya bought them, right? Rapid Fire Tools was generating revenue well before Kaseya bought them. So if you look at it as, forget looking at Kaseya as a big software vendor that's gobbling up all these other ecosystem properties. If you look at Kaseya like an institutional investor or a PE, maybe it's smart what they're doing. You know, and what, and PEs, if you look at Thoma Bravo, you look at Vista, you look at the other ones, these equity companies, they stay kind of in, there's a theme always to their investment companies, to the who they buy, right? It doesn't mean Thoma Bravo is trying to build the ultimate PSA. They own ConnectWise, but they own a bunch of other stuff too, right? There's no, you don't see Thoma Bravo talking about the ConnectWise and Sophos integration, despite that those are both Thoma Bravo properties, but it's still smart investment. I don't know. It's just one idea. If you're an MSP and you like this, I know I rambled for a long time. I apologize, but if you're an MSP and you have thoughts on this, let me know. Put it in the chat. Put it in Discord, where we talk about all of these stories throughout the entire week.
Discord's going to be located here. We may have a link somewhere in there.
Discord. And then help me do the math and all that fun stuff. But while this is complicated, at least Microsoft is making things more simple for us. Right, Tony?
Something like that. In my next story from techcommunity.microsoft.com, Microsoft is introducing cloud.microsoft, a unified domain for the Microsoft 365 family. And the new domain will unify all of Microsoft 365 services under a single domain name, including Office 365, Dynamics 365, and Azure AD. This will provide a more consistent and streamlined user experience, simplifying the sign-in process and making it easier to access all Microsoft 365 services. Cloud.microsoft will also provide improved security features such as stronger authentication methods and better protection against cyber threats by integrating with Microsoft Security Services. The move is part of Microsoft's ongoing efforts to improve the user experience and security of its services and to provide a more cohesive integrated experience for the users. Ray, if we unpack this just a little bit, all I see is .outlook, .onMicrosoft, .x, .y, .z, and is this their way to, in the terms that everyone out there understands, cleaning the junk drawer? Is that what's happening? That they did they create the junk drawer?
So all I can say is, so I look at, of course, there's a Reddit post on this already, and I look at the Reddit post, and the first thing it says is office.com shorter than the URL for cloud.microsoft? And I'm like, yeah, it kind of is. You know, look, I get you want to put your brand in everything. I get that. But
that's just it. Is it just a brand? Are they, I've said this many times on the show, do not confuse activity for productivity. Don't do something to say that you're doing something when what you're doing is, in the way of the dolphin, things up. Don't, office.com, pretty good domain.
Pretty nice. Pretty good. I mean, portal.azure.com, we know how to get there. Admin.office.com, portal.office.com, we know how to get there. Here's my problem with this. Microsoft is kind of big, right? They're kind of a large organization. Some might say global. Some might say behemoth. Behemoth organizations generally don't move quickly. How many... We've covered stories about the subdomain takeovers, and Microsoft, even after their calling, had like 200 and something left out of the original 1,200 subdomains. How many documents are out there? How many KB articles are out there talking about if you're going to make cards for Teams, whether you should use adaptive cards or adaptive cards 2.0 or the new beta cards that are actually haven't been in beta for 2 years, right? Like, their documentation is not always up to date. So when you make a move like this, I look at it and say, A, is there going to be a tangible benefit? And B, are we going to be able to affect this change and communicate it effectively to everybody? And I just foresee people going to portal.office.com, getting redirected for the next 10 years.
So you know what I mean? Like, I would say C names. We're going to see so many C names. If you look at the DNS settings from Microsoft, the list of C names, and it's all going to defer to something that is longer than ironically along a large portion of those initial listing. I'm fascinated by it. I do love that this show is about large companies making moves in the right direction. In this case, sometimes it's not the case. I am fascinated by nothing in this show so far has been about ransomware, which I just started sweating when I even said that, or somebody being, you know, hijacked. There's a major supply chain management, upstream supply chain management issue that's came from a cyber attack that's trickling down, that's affecting everyone. I love that. It's not there for one time, please. Just one more time. If we just do one more time. But this show has been about large companies making moves to improve things for everyone. I think this one's on the skirt of not, it's on the edge of that. It's not.
So case in point, right? Like just now, you know, doing my normal F around and find out, I went to cloud.microsoft. Just, I wanted to see the naked domain, cloud.microsoft. Where does it go? Cloud.microsoft redirects to Microsoft365.com, which the homepage is already talking about another rebranding. Office is now Microsoft 365, right? Like Azure is Entree, right? Dumb name.
Okay. Is there ever a point where you're just putting a hat on a hat? Like, right. Is that too much? I mean, when you put a hat on, like, a hat, right, do you put another hat on that? Or was the first hat okay?
You're redirecting the redirect to talk about the promotion for the name that's changing from the previous name, that changed from the previous name, and people haven't even got a tap. Like, stop it. This is what was that movie with the white van that went backwards? This is Inception. This is like, this is Inception.
I always think it's Groundhog Day. It's just, wait, what just happened?
You know what it is, though? What it really is? It's time for notables. Let's do some of those. In my first notable mention, SentinelOne launches cloud-native security data platform written by Joe Panettiere at MSSP Alert. The SentinelOne platform is designed to provide businesses with a holistic view of their security posture by collecting and analyzing data from multiple sources, including endpoints, cloud workloads, and IoT devices. This will allow businesses to quickly identify and respond to potential security threats and improve their overall security posture. The cloud-native security data platform comes at a time when businesses are facing increasingly sophisticated and frequent cyber attacks. With the platform, SentinelOne aims to provide businesses with the tools they need to protect the data and prevent cyber attacks. In my second notable mention, Microsoft rolls out iOS support for Phone Link syncing to all Windows 11 users, written by Igor Bonifacic for Engadget. Phone Link is a new feature in Windows 11 that allows users to link their smartphones with their PCs for seamless cross-device productivity. With the addition of iOS support, users with iPhones can now take advantage of the feature and easily access their phone notifications, messages, photos, and other content on Windows 11 PCs. This is part of Microsoft's ongoing efforts to improve the user experience and productivity of their products.
And in my first notable mention from CNET.com, Microsoft Edge is leaking some websites. Microsoft Edge has a setting called Web Capture that is unintentionally leaking the URLs of websites users visit, potentially exposing sensitive browsing data. Web Capture, designed for taking screenshots of web pages, sends the URLs to Microsoft servers for processing. However, the feature has been found to transmit URLs even when it's not in use. The issue raises privacy concerns as browsing data may be exposed to third parties without the user's knowledge or consent. To disable the feature and protect your browsing privacy, users should follow the following steps. In Microsoft Edge, click on the three dots in the top right corner, select Settings, choose Privacy, Search, and Services from the left-hand menu, scroll down to the Services section, toggle off the Web Capture setting. By disabling Web Capture, users can prevent their browser data from being sent to Microsoft servers and ensure their online activities remain private. Microsoft has not yet issued a statement or provided a fix for the issue, but users are advised to keep their browsers updated and monitor the situation for any updates or patches. And on my next notable mention from bleepingcomputer.com, a new transient execution side channel attack, transient mapping attacks, TMAs, has been discovered affecting Intel CPUs. TMA exploits Intel Translation Look-Aside Buffer, the TLB, to access sensitive information, bypassing security mechanisms. The vulnerability could enable speculative execution attacks, similar to Spectre and Meltdown. Intel is working on mitigating the issue, while researchers suggest hardware modifications and software-based solutions to counter TMA. Users should keep systems updated and follow Intel guidance for protection.
Hello again, everyone. I'm Phil Buck, and if the top 10 AI stories of the week weren't enough, that's a reference to yesterday's episode of AI Roundup, which you can check out in the card above. Well, then good news. I've got another one for you. I know that here at MMN, we love a new piece of gear or software, and it seems like every time you pick up a new piece for your collection, you're stuck in another round of RTFM hell. Am I right? Well, ladies and gentlemen, if you're tired of drowning in tedious PDFs and documents from user manuals to endless research papers to never-ending slide decks, fear not. In an article by Sabrina Ortiz from ZDNet.com, ChatPDF is here to rescue you from the PDF abyss. Powered by OpenAI's GPT 3.5, ChatPDF lets you chat with your PDFs and gives you the answers you need without forcing you to wade through the ocean of text. Need a summary? ChatPDF's got your back. The resource is available at chatpdf.com. Free plan users can upload up to 3 PDFs with a maximum of 120 pages per day, but a $5 a month upgrade is available for those who need more access. If you try it out, let us know if you thought it was useful in the MMN Discord. I know I want to put it to the test myself with some of those extremely long academic papers about diffusion models. Well, that's our AI roundup for today. I'm Phil Buck, and until next time, back to Ray and Tony in the studio.
And in our feedback from the YouTubes, our good friend Jose Porra says, "Great show as always. Thanks for everything." And thank you, sir. We appreciate you.
There are plenty of amazing upcoming events taking place across the community, so let's see what's happening this week. May 1st through May 4th, an in-person event, Channel Partners Conference and Expo in Las Vegas, Nevada. On May 1st through May 5th, another in-person event, IT Nation Evolve Q2 in Dallas, Texas. And on May 3rd at 12 p.m. Eastern Time, Build It Better MSP Discussion presented by Everything MSP. And coming from the MSP Media Network this week, we have, in case you missed it, the Tech Bar Podcast, episode 57, with Kyle Christensen of K7 Leadership. On May 3rd at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, Partnerverse, From Good to Great, improving customer experience and efficiency with chat and AI. And on Tuesdays and Fridays at 10 a.m. Eastern Time, MSP Dispatch, presented by the MSP Media Network.
Hey there, if you are an MSP or an MSSP that is flirting with $1 million in revenue, up to about $5 million in annual revenue, I want to give you a personal invitation to the Ultimate IT Growth Conference. It is coming up quickly, June 13 and 14 in Orlando, and we have some amazing speakers and amazing content lined up. Everything is workshop style so that you can actually walk away getting things done, not just getting additional content. I reveal some of my best hints, tips, tricks to grow your MSP and to mature the way that you think about growth. So please come. I would love to host you, and I hope to see you in Orlando.
So how'd you like today's show? If you like it, hit the thumbs up button. If you didn't, go ahead and hit it 3 times. And if you want to hear more, go ahead and hit that subscribe button on YouTube or your favorite podcatcher. Did you know we also have a Discord where we post stories all week? You can propose your own stories and even vote on which ones we'll cover. As my friend Rich Banky says, make sure to tell a friend. Also, be sure to follow us on social media at MSP Media TV. And starting next week, follow us on TikTok for some YouTube shorts all throughout the week. Have any questions? Email news@mspmedia.tv for answers on the next episode, or leave us a voicemail, 833-MSP-Network. Tony, that was a fantastic episode. We started off with a win. We kept it going. We kept it strong with all the news articles telling Google what they're doing wrong. I think, you know, they'll listen to us because Synchro says they should listen to us, and I agree. I agree with 100% of people that say they should listen to us. I do have a little bit of sad news. many of you know that, especially for the first couple months of this show, my sign-offs would always be popular TV sign-offs. And the one I've kind of stuck to, since it's no longer on air anymore, is take care of yourselves and each other. For those of you that are a little too young to know that reference, that was famed talk show host Jerry Springer, passed away yesterday. Passed away on the 26th of April at the age of 79. Very interesting.
Didn't watch Jerry Springer? Come on. Every day, just so you know, aren't in their Monday 40s, through Friday, 10 a.m. and 2 p.m., I used to watch Jerry Springer. I'm not joking. That was like my break. Yeah.
but I have to think some of the Zennials and some of the Millennials and some of the Gen Zs probably have never seen Steve break up a fight on stage, and they've never heard the benefit of Jerry.
Hey, but you know what they do know? They know, hey, you are not the father. That was not that. That was instigated by the Jerry Springer. Oh, yeah. Like Jerry,
I love Jerry. So in lieu of my usual sign off, I think out of respect to Mr. Springer, we can close it by saying, Jerry.
Be safe, everyone.
This has been a broadcast of the MSP Media Network.
Good morning and welcome to the April 28th episode of MSP Dispatch, your source for news, community, and events in the... Swear to God, you moved me to a different studio and I don't know what I'm doing. All right.
End-to-end encryption means that only senders of the recipient and the... Only the sender. Hold on.
But Kaseya unveils their IT Complete 2.0 at Kaseya Connect Global in Vegas. This is written by... doesn't have an author. This article is by The Business Wire. Welcome to... hold on, sorry. I'm working a new script, so I'm kind of like off a little bit.
Give me a second. I love how you prefaced it with, oh, you know, you just a small move to another studio. And
what do you... home that like I haven't worked from here in a while, so I'm like,
gentlemen, you're both from Florida. Do you not remember what happened when Nickelodeon Studios first opened up in like 1991?
What happened?
Exactly.
So yes.